Welcome back to the NutraMedical Report and Bob Fletcher. Bob, we're in hour two now. We're getting into the deeper stuff of you were looking for the money and you found underground cities. Now, how did that happen?
Well, I had so many people. I was not doing anything particularly. And by the way, I have to add this in. After being somewhat actually blown out of my bed back several years ago with some type of an electronic device that made me, I am actually functioning at a 100% disability as we speak. And I've been in this condition for over 15 years now. So it terribly slowed me down when that took place, and that's another whole story that I'm just not even going to get into tonight. But I have been seriously injured, and it exists to this day, and I'm in that kind of a disability configuration. So it had slowed me down. I wasn't doing like I used to do, and that was traveling all over the nation on a regular basis and speaking, and I've been on every major television news network, probably on the face of the earth. That includes Russia, Chinese news, the Japanese, South Korea, almost every right. Every possible media you could imagine. Front page of several magazines and newspapers and all sorts of stuff. But I had slowed down, unfortunately. I've been forced right. physically to slow down. But I was looking at which some things that were extraordinarily obvious, the vanishing money. And right. then I remembered that
so
I had...
the T, right?
I had been contacted way back in 94, 95 about these underground facilities that were being built and expanded. And I never had the opportunity to look into them. I had, in some cases, pictures and photographs. I had some videotapes. I had the statements of truck drivers that had told me they had made secret deliveries underground in one facility and had driven as much as 800 miles under the ground with an 18-wheeler right. where they had actually interfaced and passed other 18-wheelers underground. You know, this right. is like really amazing for the average guy to conceive right. and to even imagine.
Right.
So I started chasing that. I said, thinking, all right, so the gold is gone from Fort Knox. That's been proven that that's gone because we will not even supply the gold to five or seven different nations that own gold that's in Fort Knox. They can't even get it out. They have been told they cannot even get an audit till 2020. Well, we're not going to need an audit by 2020. We don't
exactly.
have that much time.
Well, and there's two other things. I mean, we have the largest gold mine on the planet in Alaska, potentially. The second largest is in British Columbia, north of Williams Lake. There's tons of gold. We can even pull it out of the ocean as Ormus at $247 per ounce. And I talked to the engineers, and actually 4 months after he sent me that information back 6 years ago, he ended up expiring in very unusual circumstances. So the fact is they don't want you to use gold. It says in the Bible, your gold and silver will canker in that day. And what they're doing, referring to the fact we're moving toward a cashless system and the Internet of Things. And this underground cities, the illegal drug trade, the corruption, the false or faux government that we have a government. We don't really even have a federal government. We have a proxy globalist government with an actor in this place. And they're moving very quickly toward the moves that they want to make to create global world government. It's full force, come out in the open.
The only thing that has happened, Bill, that makes a difference on this is somewhere in the period of time around 1983 to 85, with Ronald Reagan at the presidency and George Bush actually running the presidency, so to speak, from as vice president, in that point in time, there became there was a notification to the president that this Planet X, Nibiru, is out there, and that it is real, and that it is coming back, and that the projections that it might be 50 or 70 years may be totally wrong, and it may be much sooner than that. And at that point in time was when this multitude of things started changing in terms of space plans, space operations, expansions of some secret operations, the slowing down of other things. But this whole multitude of changes started taking place. But a big one was, a big change was, that they started expanding the few underground facilities that we had already, and they started multiplying them, and we now have in excess of probably 100, possibly 115 underground facilities within the United States.
I actually physically was a physician for one of the guys operating these high-speed tunneling devices. Won't mention his name, but he was a colleague of Phil Schneider.
Yeah, and Phil, I knew Phil well.
Right. And, well, the fact is that they were building a new one at the rate of a new underground city between 4 and 11 cubic miles in size every 7 to 11 weeks.
Yes, they've got now. They can't film and have them complete it. They can. They certainly are able to create them to where they can begin filling them and finishing them out.
There were two types that they had, and this is something people should know. Every so many, millennia or half a million, million years, whatever, there's a disjunction of the lithosphere, the crust of the Earth, and the mantle. And that means the feeders that feed the volcanic magma chambers move, so there's nothing to feed them anymore, and they empty out. And their favorite place to put cities was these underground magma chambers that are empty for millions of years.
Right, and additionally, in a very similar situation, a little bit different, but very, very similar, is the Chinese. The Chinese, going back to antiquity almost, going back 1,000 years, I put it that way, they have had underground tunnels and facilities that they used to live in and even fight their wars out of, so they could come out like ants and attack and then go back underneath into these tunneling situations. So that the Chinese already had over a couple of thousand of what you would call tunnels that were started anyhow. They would not be anything like finished like we're talking about underground cities, but they were sort of already started, roughed out, so they had an awful lot of them already in a an early configuration of completion. That may be a way to put that. But
exactly.
I realized that what happened was, it just dawned on me, and plus I was going over Mr. Ben Rich, the fellow that was the head of the Skunk Works, and the things that he said on his deathbed relative to the fact that we were already all over the universe, so to speak, flying around and doing the space travel that people could never even imagine.
The Aurora Space Fleet was actually coming out of service in 2010, which is using tokamak fusion reactors using helium-3 mined on the moon, which is 500,000 times more common there. And it crystallizes on the moon's surface because it comes off the solar wind. Most people don't realize that the solar activity of the sun doesn't come from the core like we've been taught in solar science. It comes from the heliosphere of the around the sun, and the helium-3 actually comes off the solar wind. So there's a constant solar wind pushing helium-3 that hits the bow shock wave of our three-layered Van Allen radiation belt. It bounces out toward the moon and actually crystallizes on their surface. And that's why they're doing helium-3 mining. That's why the Chinese have openly announced they're going to start helium-3 tokamak fusion. They got 3,500 scientists assigned already publicly. You can go Google it in the news. The reason is the Chinese are fed up with hiding all this stuff, and they're trucking it forward.
Yeah, this, and we talked about Phil Schneider situation. Phil and I did several speaking engagements together
on the road.
And when he was, it was very new for him and it was difficult. He was not very.
Welcome back, and we're getting more deeply into the information now. Now, why do we want to know this? This is a question before we get too deep. Well, we want to know it for several reasons. First off, there are more galaxies in our universe than grains of sand on every beach of the planet. I'm a messianic believer. A lot of people say, well, they want my statement of faith. I said, listen to the program. You have to understand that there is a God of a vast universe that has been the God of other worlds as well as ours. You have to realize there's also very good and very bad out there, not just in a quote spiritual level, but on a planetary and civilization level. There's very good and there's very evil. And if you actually look at the ancient records that are all the way from India, China, every nation on Earth in the ancient world, what you see is interactions with advanced, highly technical civilizations of non-humans from other worlds that have messed with human DNA. The Book of Jasher talks about that, and there's other books. It talks about advancing and transferring technology to human beings, and of also steering our culture and civilization through the high priesthood of ancient worlds like Sumer and Egypt. And that, in fact, they didn't just leave. That's why when I hear the word extraterrestrial, I'm thinking, no. Many of these beings are terrestrial, in fact, to be quite honest with you. They probably have as much right to the real estate as we have. So what we're dealing with here is something on a spiritual level, because when you're dealing with the beings that are that advanced, and we talk about the Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Yeah, we don't have a leader like Obama or anyone else, Hillary Clinton, unless they've gone through some form of ancient high priest ceremonies that shatters their psyche. It's called Reiki and mind control, and allows them to be avatared by transdimensional entities. People don't understand that, you know, they're now talking with people like the owner of PayPal about hacking the mind and about the idea of superintelligence and AI. What about a superintelligence that just happens to come to planet Earth that's either a machine intelligence or just an advanced intelligent being, whether it's good or bad? It could be either way, or there could be an interplay that's literally saving our butt multiple times. We know that, for example, many times the launch on command, because of errors, both in Russia and America, of nuclear weapons has been stopped. I talked to the director of Radar Command of NORAD, Colonel Lynn Wells, you know, who's a good friend of mine back in the mid-90s, and he said there's multiple times where literally there were supernatural interventions where, you know, in Russia, for example, the launch gates to allow the missiles to come out of the ground were actually welded shut. There were missile systems in northern United States, I think in Montana or up near,
It was Montana and the Dakotas up around in there.
Dakotas where they're literally shut down the entire systems of the electrical control launch system just to say, we're here and we're watching you. I think what people need to start understanding is that our government is a proxy for a battle, a spiritual battle, a galactic and a solar battle, and we do have cataclysms coming. And it's a battle for the soul of the civilization of mankind and what we are about to become, which is to make a major leap forward. And I don't believe in the evolution. I believe in what I call punctuated recreation, not just on a physical or a genetic level, but on a spiritual and a geostrategic level. We become part of the collective of advanced civilizations that can be considered, if you want to call it, following the edicts and the controls and the leadership of the Most High God. And if you don't include God in the picture, by the way, and you don't include evil in this picture, and I'm talking about a level of evil that's so intelligent and so malevolent and so evil, just like the comments by the atheist, what's his name, who's the guy in the chair?
Blackwell. I know who you mean. Everybody knows him, the physicist.
Exactly. Now, and he recently has a movie that's coming out.
And I apologize for not remembering his name either.
Yeah. But the point is that what we're dealing with, he said, you know, his comment was, and it'll probably come to me in a minute, that if an advanced predatory civilization ever discovered mankind, we will be out of luck. Well, the fact is that there are other civilizations that are there, if you want to call it the angels or messengers of the Most High. There is a battle for mankind. We have a vast galactic federation that is literally fighting for us, and there's also a very vast evil empire fighting to destroy us. Not much different than the actual movie Star Wars, but in
it's
a much
closer,
more malevolent.
Closer than people would think to being that.
Right. In fact, that Star Wars is in a sense, those new one coming out, I think, next year, called the Force Awakens is the name of the new movie. What people should understand is, if you could write a screen script for what's really going on, what you know and what I know, and I only talk about a portion of it, it would be the most big blockbuster. It would out blockbuster Star Wars, because it would deal with a level on the spiritual, the nature of reality, the nature of our quantum universe, which is literally a holographic universe. the polydimensionality, the level of intelligence, both good and evil out there, the true battle for the genetics of mankind, for our collective being, because we're not just a single person, we're like a soul, that mankind is stretched not only to the past but in the future, and to all sentient beings in the universe. And what people should start to understand is, I call it the way, which is we and I. What we're dealing with here, and that's why Yeshua Jesus came as the incarnation of the creator of the universe in human flesh. He also said, when I return, you shall be as I am. So he's literally prophesying a transition from a very lower level mankind that doesn't understand the nature of the universe to a level of mankind that says, why is there drug trade? Why is there a corrupt government? Why do we have people like Obama that's not really even a president? In fact, I had a funny comment earlier today, you know, can he be tried for treason or impeached when he's actually a non-citizen? And he's literally a created entity, but not just created on the geopolitical level by Zbigniew Brzezinski. He's created on the spiritual level because he's avatared. He's got a shattered personality, having gone through abuse, just like Hillary Clinton, who went through their family of sex magic rituals and human sacrifice. So they can create an avatared person, an entity, a human, I call wetware, flesh body, to literally control the rest of humanity because they're completely ignorant of this level of evil.
When you talk about, you know, when you get into some of these arenas here, conversation, you know, you always hear somebody say, well, you know, God created us, but there's no other. There aren't, you know, for 100 years, the churches have been kind of steering everybody away in the direction of churches, like, you know, we are it. You know, but then you got to remember, they used to say that everything revolved around us, and then they realized that that wasn't the case.
That's like the solar-centric universe. And, the fact is, though, it should be God-centered. We are, though, ready to make a major leap from the cradle, if you want to call it the womb of Earth, which I call it the... If you look at Earth from a very great distance, and you could see it, it looks like a star sapphire. I know about gemology. My father was a gemologist. So the star sapphire Earth, and what we have is a galactic abortionist trying to abort the entire planet and all the souls of mankind on the planet, because what we will become in the future, not only for the cosmos but the galaxy, is a beautiful, wonderful species that literally is singing in the choir of all of the civilizations of the Most High God. And what people should understand is there's a malevolent evil out there that people can't even in the remotest idea conceive. That's why these things like drug trade and women disappearing with Dime Corps, why we see human sacrifice, why we see these things going on like the release of Ebola, after they find why they are not fixing Fukushima Daiichi, and people scratch their head and say, that doesn't make sense. It does if you posit and understand the nature of our universe. And the underground cities and the corrupt people and the drug trade and the weapons trade and all this is all tied together. Amazing, isn't it? Welcome back. So after my little kind of blurb, kind of giving a little bit, a hint of my level of knowledge on not only the underground facilities and the off-world space issues, but on the very nature of our universe. And people need to understand that you know, I'm hinting at it. It's not time yet for me to release what I know on a more complete level, because people won't accept it. They will accept it when they see all hell break loose. They'll see it when things like I predicted. For example, in 1997, March 16th, I traveled to Zurich, Switzerland, and spoke to Human Life International after I was basically supernaturally told to go there. And I did my talk on Super Soldier Program and human tissue fetal transplant, which I'd also prepared papers for the Canadian Royal Commission on New Reproductive Technologies in 92. And they gave me a box of information, right, smuggled out of the World Health Organization, that they were creating a super plague, an airborne plague, not Ebola, but an airborne super plague of swine or avian flu, which they were trying to build with a bioengine since the 90s, which they couldn't succeed since the 1950s. They were trying to exhume bodies that were in Alaska in permafrost, and that they had a vaccine program against the trophoblast to make women sterile, and they also had created the AIDS virus. The fact is that we have a very, very evil globalist world government. It's not just driven by human evil. It's an evil that transcends humanity. And when you see all these things happening, just like the government not telling you that not only trillions, but quadrillions of dollars have gone into these underground facilities, off-world space platforms, and a colony on Mars, mining operations on the moon, which now the Chinese are finally coming forth and saying, hey, this is what we're doing. What people should understand is everything they've been taught, not just some of it, in church, in the media, in university, is completely false. They're not being shown the real world at all in any way, shape, or form. And they don't include the spiritual side of it, because if you don't include the spiritual side of it, you'll never really understand the nature of the good and evil out there that either celebrate us and help us to get through our next phase of growth, or trying to consume us or abort the entire human civilization. You'll never understand it if you don't include the spiritual side to our galactic and cosmic war that we're on now. We are in a star war, if you want to call it.
By the way, I want to, and I want to give everyone the my address one more time to make sure anybody that's joined us late, it's BobFletcherInvestigations.com. All of my investigations are on there. They're all in a catalog that's available.
Yeah,
I do not carry any products whatsoever in my catalogs at all, except my own investigations. These are the investigations that have been involved with myself as risking my life, as they say,
being a federal
witness.
Yeah.
There's been three real good serious attempts to kill me, probably two others that are vague enough that I'm not positive. The last event, which I mentioned very briefly, was about 15 years ago, actually now it's about 17 years ago, where I was literally blown out of my bed, so to speak, at 1 o'clock in the morning in Los Angeles, California, and it permanently crippled myself, exploding my inner shoulder, the ball of my left arm, into little pieces with no marks externally at all. Basically, what we were talking about, apparently, is a microwave type of a unit that was used right through my sliding glass doors, which was about 3 feet from the side of my bed.
Not surprising.
That put me into a permanently injured situation all this time.
It's and you know that they can do that. I'll give a comment by one of my buddies who's a senior CIA operative in Colorado. And NSA operative. And he said, come on out to the parking lot. So I did. I came out and said, well, what's that? He said, that's my satellite pager. I said, well, I thought you were retired. He says, you don't retire from the NSA unless they double tap you. You know, two bullets to the forehead, two to the heart. And they're very accurate because they like to use .22 caliber. None of these high caliber bloody bullets that go through your back and everything. And he said that, you know, we don't do messy things like even use .22 caliber anymore. All we do is hit them with a directed energy weapon.
That's pretty much what this was, apparently. And there was another fellow that had done an expose on the conspiracy theories program.
Right.
And was doing it relative to microwaves and lasers and that type of weapons.
Exactly. And they have offshore programs, too. I took care of the employees of the Pratt & Whitney Jet Aircraft Park Plant between 88 and 94 back in Halifax, Nova Scotia, because I was the Halifax International Airport primary doctor for the airport and these Aerotech Business Park. And they had a huge accident where they lost 100,000 gallons of hydrofluoric acid because they had a machining office making jet engine parts for their Pratt & Whitney company. But they also had in the back, they had a directed energy weapons facility that was actually tied to the research facilities and tied to John Hopkins University and the U.S. DARPA program. And I told the guys, I said, unless you tell me what happened here, I'm not going to help you at all. And they were kind of freaked out that I wasn't going to help them. So they told me straight up that we had an accident with their directed energy weapon. It bounced around the inside of the facility, and it did this and that, et cetera. And then they gave me all the specific details. And what they were doing is they had it tuned to a terahertz frequency that would make peroxisomes and lysosomes release in your cells, and your tissues would start auto-digesting. In fact, 5 minutes, nausea, vomiting, dizziness, and disorientation. 10 minutes, blindness, vomiting your guts up. 15 to 20 minutes, massive bleeding from every orifice, half an hour liquefaction of all your tissues after massive seizuring and cardiac arrest. So they deployed these in Gulf War One in the laboratory I call Iraq. People don't realize there are multiple weapon systems deployed there that are right out of the bowels of Hades. our government has weapons that literally the tank division director told me that if the enemy knew what we had when we arrived in Iraq, they'd just get the hell out of their tanks or their armored personnel carriers and run like hell. Yeah, I had no idea what they're facing.
And that's the truth in several types of weapons, as a matter of fact. But the what I was talking about, the one particular a whistleblower relative to lasers and weapons of that sort and microwaves, et cetera, he was interviewed by Jesse Ventura for his TV program. Two weeks after the interview or less, he had exactly what took place to myself, except that it worked like it's supposed to, and that was that he was hit while standing up in his kitchen, fell down, and had a cardiac arrest, and there was after a seizure, and that's exactly what happened to me, laying in bed at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Did he die of the cardiac arrest?
In my life. Went into a seizure, never left the bed. I was just there. The idea is to bring on a cardiac. It didn't do that, but what it did do was the bulk of the energy exited my left shoulder and blew my my arm, actually permanently disconnected from my the rest of my body.
Wow.
So
I got to say, that's the price you pay for being
that. Several years now.
Being a whistleblower and a patriot, and also, whether you attend church regularly, you obviously have a spiritual concern for your fellow man, which means you're one of God's people.
Yes, and I will say, like when people bring up, and you know, when you start talking about the relationship of, ETs and things of that sort, you know, there's still a large group of people that say, oh, you know, if you're talking that, you're like, you know, that's not a Christian point of view.
Yeah.
They have to understand, like you were saying earlier, and that is, if you believe in a God that created us and created Earth and created the universe, if you think that he was so a non-thinking that he never created any other living being in all of this wasteland of universal space product. If you say the whole universe,
an
never-ending, has no other living entity, you're really kind of demeaning the intelligence of your God, and we think. You're really shortchanging an all-seeing God. That's outrageous, the idea that he may have put us together and nobody else.
Double DVD set, 4 hours with Bob Fletcher. BobFletcherInvestigations.com is the website. And Bob, so let's summarize today. And I tell people, you see, you know, I try to teach them what I call the true principles that says, you know, that Jesus said, I shall preach this gospel to the whole world and then the end shall come. Not the end of the world, but the end of the aeon, the end of an age, a secular age where human beings will not understand the nature of the universe, what they are, and the vastness of what's out there. You know, when we look at astrophysics and astrobiology, we now have scientists now coming to the conclusion that we have a vast universe, that they can look at the specific lines of starlight and actually see where they can find an exoplanet, a planet out there that could be Earth-like or in the Goldilocks zone. What people should realize, if you just look back through our history and our ancient books, the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, the Bible, every ancient book of every ancient civilization or even oral traditions of the Dogon tribes, every single one talks about things like the Naga and the Chitahuri. They talk about these ancient beings present there, not just on a physical but hyperdimensional level. Because if you met someone like from Star Trek, Mr. Q, who literally surfs the quantum, if you want to call it the quantum world, hyperdimensional world, what you're dealing with, if you were to meet a person, let's say, from 1,000 or 10,000 or 1,000,000 years from now, they're descended from mankind, you would think that they're a god. They're not. They're a demigod in a sense. But they're basically just a more advanced version of what we are. And what we have to understand is that when there's both good and evil out there, the good is trying to bring us, little like midwives, through this time of great trouble. As I say, in the delivery room, there's a lot of screaming and blood. But there's also an abortionist trying to get in the room to make sure that the baby's never born. And we're in that phase right now. We're in a phase where our civilization is not the As the Mayans have said, this is not the first time mankind has fallen from a great height, both by natural cataclysms amplified by man-made and interfered directly by transdimensional entities. I like to call them IFEs, identified fetish entities. They're not UFOs, they're IFEs. Ancient civilization had a clear and present knowledge of them, including all the ancient prophets of the Bible. So when you try to remove these and say that, you know, when you actually look at the Hebrew and Greek, for example, it's they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, right from the book of Daniel, chapter 2. What you're dealing with here is not seed meaning ideas. We're talking about genetics. When you look at the double helix present in the ancient cartouches from Sumer in Egypt, you're dealing with the fact that there's ancient genetic capacity to do genetic engineering more advanced than we have today, which is why spelt, we mentioned this with John Moore on Monday, is a genetically engineered crop that's at least 9,000 years B.C. or more. When we start understanding the nature of the human race and our, we have fallen from great technical heights to devastation and crawled up from the muck of devastation either by natural or man-made means, amplified by interference by, I call, transdimensional entities and civilizations that have no good purpose for mankind, you have to start understanding we're in a galactic and a solar and a star war, not just for the physical world of Earth, but for the spiritual future, the genetic future of mankind. We're dealing with something much, much bigger, aren't we?
Yes, this and this will be, and again, in terms of physical size, the new DVD also gets into all of that, as well as the potential problems that we may actually confront step by step with the arrival of Nibiru, which will be it's not going to crash into us. It's going to pass reasonably close to us, going around the sun and then back out again. Which
what
it
I've heard
has
is actually the number that it's going to come from the southern ecliptic at 47 degrees.
It will more than likely be coming up, not from... and that's another thing that people say, why can't we just look out and see this thing? When can we see it, etc.? All of that's explained as carefully as we can on the in the DVD in terms of time potential. There will be one thing that's going to be a necessity, and so we have to keep... if you want to keep an eye out for this, is something to bear in mind. The government... the powers to be cannot at any time admit that this is on its way in.
Right.
There is no way they can tell the general public around the globe that the potential of something like this is going to be coming in, let's say, in 6 months or eight or four or five or whatever. All right. But what they do have to do from their side, their point of view, obviously, they have to have control. They must have
martial
law.
Right. And the only way, by the way, the only way to have martial law
hits the fan.
Right. And the only way to have martial law, and I've dissected through the logic for this, is a worldwide pandemic with already passed treaties in every nation. That's the only way.
Yeah,
and Ebola is just a warm-up. Ebola is just a warm-up for that.
I also put very specifically in the DVDs that that this is what's got to take place. It has to take place prior to people in the general public looking out and saying, what is that new star coming up in the over there? All right?
If you're living in Auckland, New Zealand, or in the Gold Coast of Australia, and with your backyard telescope now, not just like the SPT and the ones for the Vatican down in Chile, if you can start seeing something and making observations and putting it out, and it's not just considered you're a nut, you're a schizophrenic, how come you're on a day pass?
Once it gets larger and larger and general public is able to see this, they have to already have martial law in effect. And what you, like you said, it has to be one of two things, one of three things. Either some kind of a serious, many, many locations of extreme terrorism in America, or it has to be number two, the potential of the radical war between China and Russia getting at the very to where people genuinely think it's going to pop open, and the last most obvious one is a pandemic of some kind of
the other ones are just
disease
warm-ups.
That's going to kill us.
They need collaboration of the public.
Multi-site
terrorism, even war, nuclear war, which should only last literally 4 hours. In 2 weeks, you can come up. is not the real issue. The real issue is pandemic. They have all of the 183 nations have signed the treaties to hand over the World Health Organization all the health care, and the United Nations all military. The fact is that we see Obama even taking his orders from the United Nations when he went into Libya. And he made that public statement on that. The fact is, and you have to think in the converse, why didn't they not fix Fukushima? My book is now out that explains technically how you can fix Fukushima technically and how you can protect yourself. Why did they not fix Ebola? Ebola's not that big a deal. It's easy to control and stop. I mean, how many, we call, forward cases have we developed? If they followed all my recommendations, because I was a hazmat guy working with Operation Top Off and Dark Winter, with Reserve Admiral John Hughes and the FBI and CDC federally in 97, I can tell you specifically exactly what they need to do and why they're not doing any of it. They're not doing it because this is a warm-up to a future plague that'll be a lot worse than Ebola. Ebola is wimpy by comparison. It's hard to transmit it unless you have very high viral loads. Yes, it's transmitted by droplets, but it's not easy. And it's only the terminal phases of the disease that put our health professionals in grave danger, so a few dozen cases could shut our healthcare system down. But the real issue is, for example, like with Obama, they want federal authority so they can take control of healthcare completely away from the state so they don't set up quarantine standards, which are a patch quilt. What they want is the federal government is a proxy for a world government that wants to have quarantine rules worldwide tied with military control of everybody on Earth, and everybody frightened to take the vaccine, the drugs, the ZMAP, whatever, or you die, and everybody will be given a chip or a tracker, a device, so that you will not be considered an enemy combatant because they don't want us to interfere with their survival when they go to their underground hotels. That's the purpose.
Well,
they don't want us to interfere.
It's been good. How much time do we have here? A couple minutes?
2 minutes, and then we want to get you back on, Bob, because I think people need to start connecting the dots. They need to say, why am I preparing? You're preparing for multiple levels, spiritual, physical, emotional, for your community, and you're preparing for the future of whether or not there is going to be humanity in the rest of this millennium. Because what's going on is a lot more than just the illegal drug trade or even the approach of Nibiru. What we're seeing here is a galactic and a cosmic war for the soul of mankind.
Well, it's a pleasure being on, and I'll be glad to come back on again sometime.
Yeah, and it's amazing that you've done all this research and you found so much, Bob.
It's tremendous. And I worked on this for 3 years. I've never been obligated to do that in my life. I had multiple times where they actually burned up my computers internally on a couple of occasions. So it's been difficult to get it finished.
Yeah, exactly. And if I can help you on the physical side there, too, I have talents and abilities there to help people heal where no other options are available. So stay right there. We'll get you rescheduled back in hour three with Tim Alexander, Chris Harris. As I say, we wandered a little bit into the other 90%. I'm not releasing the bulk of what I know until it's time. But let me tell you, what you've done, Bob, is remarkable. It's another, what I call, close up and seal the words of the book until the time of the end. That's the end of the last chapter of Daniel. For it shall be a time, times, and half a time. We're getting real close when the Temple Mount is being closed down. We're getting real close when we see war in the Middle East and with Russia. We're getting real close when we see Ebola. We're real close when we see Fukushima, an extinction-level event, nothing's being done. We're real close when we see the sun acting crazy. We're close.